All right, well, we're going to go ahead and we'll grab our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 20. And when you find that, I'd ask that you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. And I do apologize for my voice, and if it gets real bad, we'll just have to cut it short. But dealing with a cold today, so it's one of those things. But I do want to say, I know snack was supposed to be over by 9, but I don't even know if I'm going to be done by 9, because I was here on Wednesday. And I have 6 hours. That's what I heard. I thought Pastor gave me a green light. I thought that was, he was throwing shade my way, saying that you can preach for 6 hours. So that's what we're on to. So snack is going to be a little late tonight, all right? But I will do one thing. I won't make you stand for 6 hours like they did there. I will let you sit down maybe halfway through, like intermission, all right? All right, well, let's look at Exodus chapter number 20, if you will. Notice with me in verse number 7. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." This kind of sounds serious, doesn't it? I mean, God said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And then he says this, that if you do, he's not going to hold you guiltless. In other words, that's called accountability. And God says, I'm taking great accountability in relationship to this commandment. Well, may God bless in the reading of his word. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. I'm always going through these Ten Commandments and very thankful for God's word and just the relevancy of the Ten Commandments. And it'll never go out of date. It'll never expire. And you'll always be able to learn something from that. And by God's grace, that's what we hope to do tonight. When I was studying for this, I found some years ago, there's a man who wrote this little tract called 10 Reasons I Swear. 10 Reasons I Swear. One is, it pleases mothers so much. Number two, it's a fine mark of manliness. Number three, it proves I have self-control. Four, it indicates how clearly my mind operates. Number five, it makes my conversation so pleasing to everybody. Number six, it leaves no doubt in anybody's mind as to my good breeding. Number seven, it impresses people that I have more than an ordinary education. Number eight, it's an unmistakable sign of culture and refinement. Number nine, it makes me a very desirable personality to women and children and respectable society. And number 10, it is my way of honoring God who said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And I get that guy's track, and I think many times when we come to the third commandment about taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, that the normal response that we have to this is we look at it as a study in vocabulary. We look at it as a study about just taking God's name in vain as the words that we speak, and rightfully so, that is a reality. But is the words that we speak a reflection of something much deeper in reality? And I would have to ask myself then, is profanity just limited then to the words that I speak, or does it expand into other areas? Is it just, as long as I don't have a cussing problem, so therefore I don't have a problem with the third commandment? Is that what God is trying to teach to us? Because I'm praying I'm in an audience that cussing is not a major problem in your life. If you have children, it might be. But if you don't have children, you'll get that someday, all right? But you might have. But when we look at this, taking God's name is not something just relegated to your lips, but it applies to your whole life. You may be using profanity all the time. You may have used profanity when you got up this morning. may have been using profanity in the church service today with the hymns that you sung. You may have been using profanity when you were on your phone. You may have been using profanity when you turn your TV on. You may have been using profanity how you talk to your wife. You may have been using profanity how you were dealing with your children. Profanity is something that extends well beyond just the words. And you may be saying, well, I don't know if I would agree with that. I don't know if I would say that profanity goes to all of those areas. And I think in response to that, I would say, well, then let's us understand what God's saying here in this commandment. Because I think if we would understand, and as we do understand this, we will see how serious of an issue it is. One commentator book that I read said this: this commandment is more sinned against perhaps than any other. It is sinned against by the religious and irreligious, by pulpit and pew, by sinner and saint. And breaking this commandment happens so frequently that we've probably gotten so desensitized to it that we don't even realize that we are doing it. But I think today we will see very clearly what God is saying, how it applies, and how we even break it in our lives. So when we look at this, and it says about not taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, it is more than just something or what somebody is identified as. You know, we all have names in here, and we're identified as that. But a name is much more than an identification of who you are. A name can be a revelation of the thing that it's associated with. Okay? For instance, when you think of Calvary, the place, Golgotha, the place of a skull, because the hill itself looked like a skull. I think of my children. We named Jubilee not after a grocery store. We named her after the year of Jubilee in the Bible, and that God sets us free through Jesus Christ. That's why we named her Jubilee, because there's an association and a revelation that goes along with that name, Bethel, house of God. So a name can be that, which is a revelation of the thing that it's associated with. But a name can also be dealing with a person's character or reputation. For instance, Ecclesiastes says a good name is better than precious ointment. Proverbs 22:1 says a good name is better to be chosen than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So in other words, a name can be reveal a nature of a character. See, we understood this because if you don't realize it, all of our kids begin with the letter J. That, and we try to use people or names that were out of the Bible. If I was to say, what names in the Bible would you not want to use if it was the letter J? Probably the top two names would be Judas and Jezebel. They were off the table. They were not there. You do not want to have a daughter named Jezebel. Under no terms or condition, your daughter should disown you if you named her Jezebel. You just set her up for failure. Why would we say that? Because Jezebel, everybody knows Jezebel was a very unsavory character in the Bible, and you don't want to do that. There's another name that I did not want to name our children. Do you know one of Job's kids was named, daughters was named Jemima? No. No, we are not going to be looking at syrup and pancakes every single morning. Not going to do that. Do you think of Jemima? It's a revelation of that character. So when we begin to understand that, by referring to the name of God then in this third commandment, it's more than just words that are spoken. Name is that which is revealing the very character and nature and reputation of who God is. So when we're dealing with the name, we're not just dealing with like Jehovah Nissi and the Lord Almighty and all those things. What we're dealing with is the name, his character, his reputation, what he has revealed himself as. That's what we're dealing with with the name. When Jesus taught us in the New Testament that he gave us an example of how we should pray. It wasn't the Lord's prayer, but he gave us an example. He said, what did he say? And hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to be lifted up. It is to be separated from all other names. In other words, that God, you are hallowed. You are above all others. You have a reputation and a character that exceeds any other that is out there. Hallowed be thy name. Psalm says, hallowed and reverend is his name. Holy. So the Bible defines you for you. Name isn't just like, well, I didn't use God's name in a blasphemous way. Well, praise the Lord, I'm so glad you didn't do that today. Thanks for taking a day off. But the reality is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain goes so much deeper than that. It's something that reflects on the very character and nature of a holy and righteous God who is to be high and lifted up, whose train fills the temple. High and holy, lifted up. Just a wonderful name. And so this commandment says that we are not to just take that name glibly, not to take it in vain. Do you know what the word take means? It means this. It literally has the meaning to bear, carry along, to be borne along, to be lifted up. It's used in the account when Joseph's coffin was lifted up and was carried all the way into Egypt there. It's to carry something along. And so when we're talking about taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, what we are talking about is lifting and carrying up God's name. That we lift and that we carry up God's name. And it's not just a responsibility just for the saved. This is a universal truth that every single man, woman, and child are accountable to the fact of taking the name of the Lord thy God. Because if you'll remember, when man was created in the beginning, that man was created in the image of God. In other words, from the very beginning, man was created in such a way that he took the image or name of God with him. So regardless of where you're at, regardless of who you are responsible for taking the name of the Lord thy God with you. You carry it with you all the time. Well, I don't do it at certain times when I go to church. No. You take the name of the Lord thy God every single moment of the day, whether you're in public, whether you're in private, whether you're alone. The reality is you take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Or take the name of the Lord. Whether it's on your phone, in the store, wherever you find yourself, can I tell you this? You are an image bearer of God, so therefore you take the name of the Lord with you. Wherever you go, whether you've thought much about it, but that is the reality. So taking the name of the Lord thy God's name is something that God takes seriously. That taking the name of the Lord thy God is a serious matter that should be evident, as when you look at the Ten Commandments, maybe you wouldn't have put, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, at number 3. But for me to have made it to number 3 lets me know that it must be very serious in the order of things that God could have put in there, right? And I want you to understand that God's a God of order, if you'll believe me, that God's a God of order and plan and design. And it certainly makes sense why he takes it so serious and why it's in the position that it's in. Because in the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before you, that God is to be the object of your worship. Then the second commandment is dealing with not making any graven images, falling down to them. And as we looked at, that has the idea about God is not just concerned about the object of our worship, but how he is to be worshiped also. Now you get into this commandment, and it feeds off of those two, because now it goes from the who to the how to the wherefore. Wherefore then are we then to worship him a holy and righteous God who is to be number one, how are we then to worship them? Why is it that we would worship him that way? Because his name is reverend. His name is hallowed. His character is above all else. So the reason why you wouldn't worship the Lord, the reason why you wouldn't bow down to idols is because God is to be holy and his name is to be hallowed. That's why God's going in order for a very reason. He's saying, if you say that I'm number one in your life, that I am God, I will dictate my worship towards you because you are number one. Then God said, then the way that is going to happen is going to be the result of whether you reverence my name or not. Yeah. So God's very, very concerned about this. You know, when I was thinking about this commandment, came up with these three logical points. One is this: I think we could say that God is concerned with how people think about him. I think we were beyond safe ground. God is concerned with how other people think about him. He can do that. He's creator of God. We can get a complex worrying about what other people think about us, but God is worthy to be thought of in such a way that I want other people to think about me correctly. I'm worried about what other people think. I think the second conclusion is this, that from this, it would teach you that God is concerned how you make others think about him. That God is concerned that your life, you do not live on an island by yourself. You do not live in a realm where your actions only affect yourself. That as taking the name of the Lord thy God, taking his name has a reality of this: whatever I do in relationship to that affects what other people think about God. And then also, I think the other conclusion is this: that God is concerned with how you think about him. I think all of that is on the table. I think all of that is contained in here. God is concerned with how other people think about him. He is concerned how you make other people think about him. And he's concerned how you think about him. Now, you can understand, I'm like, well, I think you just pushed that commandment from number 9 all the way up to number 3. Absolutely. And so God is telling us then in this commandment, he's saying, about taking his name, bearing, carrying his name with you daily in our lives. So when you take the name of the Lord thy God, we have to be careful, because he said, take not my name in vain. You know what I liken it unto? Sometimes I need to just make it simple. God doesn't want his name run through the mud. God does not want his name run through the mud. Do you understand that when you take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, you defile his name? That's what you're doing. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's the reason why God said, you will be guilty. I will not hold you unaccountable for doing that very thing, because I'm telling you this, God is trying to tell you this, is that if you take my name in vain, you defile my character and reputation. And he takes that seriously. Vain means empty. It means worthless. It comes from a Hebrew word. Now listen, a Hebrew word that means, this surprised me, to ravage, to destroy. That's what ravage means. It's not like ravage, I'm so hungry I tore the refrigerator apart type ravage. It's that kind of ravage where you would tear something apart and destroy it. And when God uses the word vain, it's in relationship to destroying and breaking apart his character and his reputation. That's serious. We understand when we think of vanity, oftentimes if I say, where are we going to turn to today if we're going to talk about vanity? We're going to turn to Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, Solomon wrote. And in there, Solomon was trying to find the meanings and purpose to life, and he was turning over every single rock and stone that he could find. He took every kind of form of entertainment, everything that he could, and he got back and he looked at it and he said, all of it is vanity. Well, what was he saying? It is worthless. It is empty. I find no value in it. And what you're doing when you take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, you are taking away the worth of God. You are taking away from his dignity that he deserves. You take away from that. And you say, well, that sounds pretty serious. I would think so. I would definitely think so. Because this is where profane comes in. Because when people talk about profanity, here's where it comes in. In Ezekiel, it says, and thou shalt teach my people the difference between the holy and profane. What's the opposite of profanity? Holiness. Not because I came up with it, because God told you it was. God is trying to tell you this. You take the name of the Lord thy God in vain is this. You defile my name. You make me less than what I am, and I am absolutely holy. You just don't get to use his name and his reputation and his character glibly and lightly because of who he is. You do not take his name in vain. You do not defile it. If you run God's name through the mud, I'm just going to tell you, God's not going to ignore it. God does not ignore and turn a blind eye when we take his name in vain. You soil God's good name, he's not going to hold you guiltless. It means that God will hold you accountable for violating his very nature, his very character, and his reputation. You know, God made it a point to emphasize this. Do you know that there's sometimes that God does stuff in the Bible? He just does something like a big, massive judgment or something like that, just to set the tone out from the beginning, like Ananias and Sapphira. You don't read too many other people getting struck down dead in church like that, but it certainly had its effect, right? Well, there's a story in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, the one that you probably don't want to read through. And in the book of Leviticus, there was this time where this half Jewish woman had a son, and his son, he got into an argument with another Israelite man. And they said he blasphemed the name of the Lord. I think that was probably the first use of God's name being in use in such a way that their damnation was called down on somebody. And in relationship to that, they said, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this guy? They locked him up. They sought God's face and what God's will was. God said, everyone get a rock. What are we going to do? Build him a jail cell? No, we're going to kill him. They took rocks out there and they killed him because he blasphemed the name of the Lord. The Bible tells you clearly that's the reason why they did it. It says, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as with the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. They think that took that? Think God was trying to send a message? I mean, I bet you've been thinking really closely about how you acted after you had to throw a rock on somebody to kill them, because all they did is took the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He just spoke it. I think to myself, good night. I could take the name of the Lord thy God well in excess of just using the name of the Lord, using wrong words. And yet, here we are. That God is trying to very much say, listen, we may not be under those kind of laws that we get stoned to death, but I think at a minimum, you and I could all agree that God takes that very serious. Do you want to find out what being held accountable looks like? I don't. I've said things to my children before. You want to get those chores done before I get home, and I just leave it at that. You fill in the blanks, and you can think about it while I'm gone. In other words, I said, I'm not going to hold you guiltless over this. I come home.
I don't want to know being guilty and what God would do. But the reality is he holds it accountable. One person wrote, did you notice that there is a threat attached to this command? For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Do you know what that means? It means that God is not a toy you can play with casually and then put back on the shelf. It is like those warning signs that say, danger, high voltage. If you ignore the sign, you will soon be electrocuted. The third commandment is saying, danger, God is a live wire. What? That's awesome. Like, I should come up with ideas like that. I kind of like that. God is a live wire. We have one, and here he does electrical. Sure, some of those wiring projects, you, even though after all your experience, I'm sure you have respect for what you are doing and dealing with live wires. If you don't ask them about it, I watch them do it. I'm like, you do it. You get shocked, that's fine. I don't want to mess with it. But I'm just telling you this. God's like a live wire. Why mess with it? There's a live wire hanging in the street. You go and play jump rope with it? I certainly hope not. God's name is not to be taken lightly. How would you respond if someone ridiculed, twisted, slandered, or kept making fun of your name? What would you do? Well, I know you probably give me some spiritual answer, but I think the reality is you look at how people respond on like a Facebook or some other social media post. They don't like it. They respond to it. Rightfully or wrongfully, you get a response out of them. And if you can understand that on a human level, then how much more so would the divine God of all eternity respond when you take his name in vain? Like, wow. God, this is some heavy stuff. God, I should probably be careful of that. Absolutely. And so God's name does not want to be dragged through the mud. He wants it to bring honor and glory to his good name. So how do we do that? How can I apply this in such a way that I'm not going to touch the live wire? I would say one is this. You must be saved. Salvation is the first step of taking God's name in the right manner. Well, why would you say that? Well, in the beginning, man was created in the image of God. And when he sinned, he defiled God's name. He did. He defiled God's name. And the Bible tells us that because of Adam's sin, we inherited that same defiled nature from him. Because it says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Wherefore is by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible lets us know this, that we just naturally have defiled the character and nature of God. All I've been doing is living. It's all you got to do. Without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've already defiled the name of God. But I think it goes even further. Because the Bible says this, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name among heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. I think every time you hear the gospel and you refuse to get saved for whatever reason you've decided and determined in your mind, you're taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You are not respecting the holy God and what he has provided for you. Because I look at it in this terms. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think to myself, if my kids had a birthday and he's been telling me the whole time what he wants, and it's expensive, really expensive, And I've been working really hard for it. I even took on a second job for it so I could have that. I mean, I went out and I found it. I mean, I had a search, and it was a diligent search because there wasn't very many of them left. And I worked really hard at it. And I went out and got him this nicest box that I could, a card that let him know how much I love him. And I did this for you because you are my son. I love you so much. I would do anything for you. And I go to give it to him on his birthday. And he just looks at it and he just says, I don't want it. Or he opens it up and he just turns an ugly look at it. He just despises what's before it. Would you think as a father I would be offended? Absolutely. And there's a God in heaven. When we refuse salvation, what we are basically doing is, I don't care how much you've invested in this gift, I refuse it. I reject it outright. For whatever reason that you may have chosen in your mind, you've rejected it outright, and you've taken the name by which no other name under heaven whereby you can be saved. You have taken it and made it a light and worthless thing, and you've taken the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Because the Lord of verse number 3, his name is Jesus. I don't re-preach this morning's message, but the word of John chapter number 1, the revealed word of God, lets us know Jesus is that Lord of this. And when you refuse the name of Jesus Christ, when you refuse to take the offer of salvation, you are basically taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But I also think of this. When after I get saved, that I can honor God by getting saved, and I can honor God by my confession for him. What are you getting at? Do you guys remember, we hear it often, do you remember the Great Commission and what pastor says when we get baptized? You get baptized in what? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think it's the same name of verse number 3. Well, why do you get baptized? Well, mom asked me to. No, that's not why you get baptized. Why do you get baptized? Is not baptism supposed to be a mark of your confession of faith in Jesus Christ? That I am buried, my old man is buried in death, and I raise the newness of life. I am going to walk in the ways of Christ. Is that not it? That God tells us, Jesus clearly tells us in the gospel, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. In other words, it makes him extremely proud. You see, by this, that we are to take a bold stand for Jesus Christ. When we are not taking a stand and confessing Jesus Christ in our lives, we are taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You are. Because what you are saying then, this God who saved you, this God who puts his name upon you, you're just saying, it's no big deal. Big deal. No. Discipleship is, baptism is an identifying mark that you're going to actually walk with Christ. That I'm going to take a stand. Absolutely. So regardless of where you find yourself, like even with what happened with Charlie Kirk lately, regardless of where you're at, you could not deny the fact that he had a belief in a Savior. And he was going to tell you about it. In a hostile environment, he was willing to do that. We take the name of the Lord thy God in vain when we will not take a stand for him. And when we do not take a stand for him, that we cower instead of confess. And then I think this, that we can honor God by living a consistent life, living a consistent life that lines up with the scriptures. When you declare your relationship with God, when you say I'm saved and you're even baptized, what you are saying is that you are identifying with Jesus and his teachings. And when you live outside of what the word of God says, you're spreading inconsistency about it, and you're taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Absolutely. That a consistent life is of a necessity for honoring the name of God. Because I'm taking his name. He's gracious, I'm gracious. He's loving, I'm going to love everyone, not just those that are easy to love. He's forgiving, I will forgive whoever trespasses against me, no matter how grievous it is. He's generous, and I will be generous. He prays for us, I'll pray for others. I mean, it could go on about God. I mean, our life needs to be a life of consistency. Because what we're saying, if God is so much and God is so holy, I can't just live my life any way that I want to. I need to be consistent to his name. And when we live inconsistently, according to the scriptures, what we are doing is we are taking worth and value away from the name of God. Absolutely. And I'll tell you this. I would want to rather elevate, and I would want to do whatever I could to elevate God and his name in this world than take anything away from it. There's so much that's already taking away from it. I just don't want to be one of the crowd that's taken away from him. When I come to church and when I serve the Lord each and every day of my life, I want to be God today. Today, God, I want to be consistent. God, I want to do what you want me to do because, God, I want to be a reflection of who you are. And, God, I want you to be honored. I want your name to be revered. I want your name to be hallowed. When people come to me, they say that God is meaningful to him in his life. That I don't have to sit there and go, I don't want to ever have that statement where someone comes to me and says, I thought you were a Christian. I should never want that ever said in my life. How do we avoid that? A life of consistency, that we honor the name of God by living a life of consistency. I looked up this, so just so you know, just a caveat, I did not use AI to get this whole message. But I typed in and I said, trying to find a story or illustration about a child injuring the name of his parents. And AI came up with an awesome story. The line at it, they weren't preaching a sermon, but the line at the end of it is the sermon in and of itself. I want you to listen to this story here, okay? Because I think we can relate to it. It's not hard. It said Julian Abernathy was not a bad person, but his ambition was a corrosive thing, and it was about to eat his family name alive. His father, Robert, had built Abernathy and Sons from a single hardware store into a regional powerhouse. For generations, the name had been synonymous with honesty, hard work, and good old-fashioned Midwestern decency. The Abernathys were pillars of the community, a legacy Robert guarded fiercely. Julian, however, saw the family business as a relic. While his father meticulously managed the inventory, Julian persuaded high-risk ventures and flashy investments on the side. He believed his father was leaving millions on the table, clinging to outdated principles. His parents, Robert and Eleanor, often warned him against his recklessness, but Julian dismissed them as out of touch. This is a new world, Dad, he would say. You have to take risk to make real money. His first mistake was the Florida real estate deal. Julian brought a dozen seaside properties with no money down, using his family name as collateral. When a hurricane struck and insurance companies denied the claims, he left a trail of devastated homeowners in the wake. Lawsuits piled up and the story landed on the front page of the local paper. The headline read, Abernathy Scion implicated in real estate scandal. For Robert, it was a punch to the gut. The name that he had always been a source of pride were now a mark of shame. In the hardware store, customers who had known him for decades averted their eyes. A few even came in to share their disappointments. Robert would simply nod, the weight of his son's actions etched on his face. Jillian, unrepentant, moved on to the next scheme, a tech startup that promised investors unrealistic returns. He used his father's reputation to secure financing, leveraging the trust people had in the Abernathy name. His parents begged him to stop, but Jillian was obsessed with proving himself superior. "I'll make it back and more," he promised, his ambition blinding him to the risk. The startup was a house of cards. When inevitably it collapsed, investors lost their life savings. The fallout was swift and brutal. News reporters camped outside the Abernathy home. Eleanor, a woman who had once hosted a garden parties and charity events, now hid behind drawn curtains. The phone rang relentlessly with threats and accusations. Jillian, in one final act of desperation, drained the Abernathy and son's business accounts to pay his legal fees. He forged his father's signature, believing he could replace the funds before anyone would notice. But the bank discovered the fraud. The news was broadcast on every channel, destroying what little remained of the family's honor. Robert, heartbroken, sold the business to pay back what his son had stolen. The Abernathys and Sons sign, a constant in town for 80 years, was replaced with new branding. Robert and Eleanor moved away, unable to bear the public disgrace. Jillian eventually served his time, but he emerged into a world where his family name meant nothing, or worse, meant everything he had destroyed. When he tried to start a new life in another city, people would search his name online and find old headlines. Now listen to this. Listen to this line. Jillian, he learned that the name you inherit is not yours to own, but yours to protect. Wow. The name of God is not a name you own. It's a name you inherited. And you and I, and especially us who are children of God, have a responsibility to protect the name of God. And it is altogether a possibility that all the angles you could take that story is the reason people quit coming into the shop and the reason why shops are closing down, or could we change it to churches are closing down, is because we've gone so long and taken the name of the Lord thy God in vain that people want to quit shopping at our store. Wow. I just think to myself, I want to be a protector of God's name. If I'm not saved today, and I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to get that taken care of. If I need to take a step forward and actually commit myself to baptism, let everyone know I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to take a stand. I'm starting with this one simple act. And I would say to you, dear child, if you say I've already accomplished those two, I'm just going to ask you, do you desire to live a consistent life that you can protect the name of God in your life? And I would say to you, God, come down here and say, God, just please give me that desire. May I never take your name in vain. I'm less concerned about being guilty as much as running your name through the mud. And God, you're so worthy of everything that I'm just going to do and live a life that would be pleasing to your name. All right, let's go ahead and stand. We'll have a time of invitation here. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to open up your word tonight. And God, about taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, God, that's not something that we should take lightly. But God, our lives should be reflected and our decisions should be made in such a way that it would bring honor and reverence to a holy God. And I would just pray tonight, God, if there's somebody in here who's heard the sound of the gospel more than once or heard it maybe even the first time tonight, God, that they would yield, put their faith and trust in Christ. And for those of us who are saved and even followed through with baptism, and taking the name of Christ, God, I would just pray that we would have a desire to be protectors of the name of God in this world. God, I just pray now you'll bless in this invitation, and I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.